Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome to the February 26, 2018 Belleville City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this community and upon this council and giving us wisdom in the decisions we make tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and I see that all council members are present. And 1.5 is our citizen input. It's an opportunity for citizens to address the fellow city council with any topic they wish. Is there anyone, citizen present tonight who'd like to address the council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
I make that motion.
Second.
Motion made in second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move to item 3 is our consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Motion made in second. All those in favor to approve our consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we're going to move to item 4.1, public hearing for Sand Hill Estates Development Agreement Amendment.
And I will recuse myself from item 4.1, Sand Hill Estates Development Agreement.
Okay. Let the record show that Angel Garza, councilman, is recusing himself from this public hearing and for any action taken by the council with regard to this proposed amendment. Anne?
So you took action on the original development agreement last October. And then as the project's developed, there are some additional costs, and so it needs to come back to you. Because it is a development agreement, you need to hold a public hearing and make a new decision on the changes to the agreement. So there were a lot of attachments, just kind of the nature of it. So what I gave you in the attachments were the original costs that you agreed to. That was the Exhibit B to the agreement. I gave you the new costs, as explained by the developer. That was at 2 page 1, with the two. I gave you this one, which is a spreadsheet showing the original costs, the new costs, and the difference. You can kind of see how that worked out. I gave you the proposed amended agreement, which the only change is I updated the dates. I added the resolution number that wasn't in the previous one, because we didn't have it when you adopted it. I added a 5.3 on page 2 that talks about this public hearing that you're holding tonight and the space for the resolution number. And then the dates at the end updating to 2018. And then a new exhibit, well, Exhibit A was the plat map. Exhibit B is the changes to the costs. And I did it as underlined strikeout so you can see exactly what the changes are. And then the resolution. Don't know if there are any questions. I don't know that I have much more of a presentation than that.
So in the breakdown on this, I see where some of the items are actually going to cost less.
Mm-hmm.
So the top course, base course, has actually come down. It was first estimated at 95 cents. And it must have been square foot. And now it's just in the tonnage cost for gravel.
Right. So some of the costs did come down. There were some, most of the changes are costs that weren't included in the first place. So the engineering, construction services, the subgrade prep. The other thing that the spreadsheet breaks down for you is the funds that each item would come from, this spreadsheet, whether it comes from streets or water or sewer, since the project involves all of those things. It's mostly a street project, does involve some irrigation, so that would come out of water, a few things that would come out of the sewer budget. So there were some slight increases in water and sewer, 11,000, 12,000, 90,888 increase in street costs.
It looks like we have the additional funds in each budget to absorb those.
There are. It does take the street budget down pretty far. And that was money that had been talked about as being for overlays and other projects this year. On the other hand, this is, you will get the end result of a rebuilt street.
And that'll go from 14th to?
7th. So it won't be a full width that whole distance.
So then it will be a half or up to that.
So the city's participation is 425,000, 525,07.
That's the total, right? You had previously agreed to, I believe it was 336. Yeah.
So. Being that we're charging the use tax, we still have to pay the use tax? We're beneficiary of the use tax. And that's on the cost sheet.
And, so we're not going for prevailing jobs, going for private jobs, that's why I say save money, because I'm paying for that. I'm getting reimbursed for that. So yeah, we have to pay for that.
So,
okay.
So we're going to pay $3,000 to collect $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because the use tax is a city use tax.
I don't think there's any way around it. If the city,
that's cool.
Right, and as I look at what we typically are paying for, we're paying a half a street for 7 blocks, which is in essence 3.5 blocks, and we pay over 200,000 to redo 1 block, and we're going to get 3.5 blocks for 425,525,707. That's a pretty good discount over what the city would pay to have that work contracted out and done. Correct?
So the overall cost of the project, you know, the nuts and bolts of the putting it together didn't increase that much. It's the additional cost for the designing and the construction fees. What are the construction service fees? What does that entail?
I believe that's the staking and things, but I guess I defer to Mr. Garza to answer that fully.
The construction service fees.
In the construction fees, you have all if you go back to the contract, there's nothing stated as far as your construction fees. All that it's all thrown in one. And those are concrete numbers because you can't really say, you know, that construction fee is that big because, like Kurt knows, you can go through the road and first time around, you can get compaction. And sometimes it's going to take you an extra 4 days and have the testing crew there an extra 4 days because you're not getting compaction. So that number is even going to vary throughout the job. It might be less, it may be more. You just don't ever know. Both are numbers that you can ever, you know, get down to a peak.
Does the city have any oversight on this?
On this project?
So,
the city's going to accept it when it's done.
Yeah.
We're doing inspections. Yeah, okay, that's what I meant.
Part of the construction fees are for your inspection fees?
No, I think there's a, I don't see a breakdown, but I didn't see it up in there. But the original agreement did have the, do we have the agreement?
Yes. Yeah, so there is a cost that is being paid for inspections.
It's pretty consistent with the previous arrangement.
Okay, so there is a potential that not the entire amount of the construction fees or the design engineering fees are going to have to be spent, correct?
Or the contingency.
Yes. That's one thing I know when you do projects, you don't want to get into the contingency unless you have to. So if we're looking at this and we take out those values, then it gets back down into a reasonable number. So we're going to allocate this amount of money of city government funds for this project, but we're not saying that it's going to cost that much.
Maybe it cost more. I mean, for example, we ran into Broadway for Don Olivia. We ran into two pipes already that are not in the plant, that were not in the design, that were not marked. I don't know if you remember the first pipe on 13 runs across. We didn't hit it by chance. We missed the second one, and we hit the third one today. That being we had water for two and a half hours going on.
Yeah, it was on plans.
Well, according to him, it should have been 15 feet to the north. So no, that's what I'm saying. We're gonna try to stick to that as long as we don't get too much of this. And then once we get to something like this, and then we get construction crew out there, and we get the public works out there to figure that out. Because here Terry says this, and they say something, I stay out of it because I'm paying somebody to do the job, and the public works should be doing their job in that part. So I'm neutral right now. So whatever comes to that, doesn't matter to me where it goes. But what I'm saying is, if it falls on the city, that's more numbers that we're going to add on to the city. It got nothing to do with me.
So, did you get your question answered, John?
Pretty much, but if we allocate $425,000 at this point in time, I don't want to see $450,000 being spent. Because there's already a $30,000 contingency, and there's additional costs that weren't on the original estimation that we voted on in October, so I'd like to hold to this $425,525 value, giving you $30,000 of contingency to work with, and that be it.
So I can go back to that, John. I can say, you know, that we're very comfortable with that number. I think that's a good, strong number as far as the city getting it done and maybe for less. But here again, I can't foresee what's coming up ahead. We might have another 10 pipes in the way.
Yeah, but we're
there. So you really can't hold me for that, because if it's something the city designed back there and has no records of it, you know, we have to come back to the city of public works. That's just the way it works. Can't go any other way. I don't see that happening. I don't, but we ran into three pipes already.
Well, anything spent above and beyond that 425 would have to come back through the city council anyway, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Oh. Okay, so it does. So it does come back to us for approval. Mm-hmm. What if we don't approve it?
Let's cross that bridge when we get there. Tonight, this is what's before us.
Okay.
So.
You ready for the public hearing?
I think we're in the public hearing, aren't we now? Didn't I open the public hearing? Yeah, I did.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, I opened the public hearing. So, now, council has asked staff of questions. Thank you, Ann. And now I'm opening up the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Is there anyone here who wants to speak in support of the proposed contract or change on the developer's agreement? Is there anybody neutral that wants to speak? Is there anyone in opposition that want to speak? Okay, hearing none. I'll close the public testimony portion at 6:45 p.m. And now, I'll ask, now that we're out of the public hearing, council, do you guys want to approve this proposed change?
The amount of 425, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the revised amount, I'm sorry. For this public, this is for the Sand Hill Estates Development Agreement Amendment, okay? And that would increase it at under $115,525, over what the council approved in October, okay? That's what we're, that's what's before you. I need a motion.
Well, your figures are wrong. It's not that large of an increase.
That's what it says right there.
Well, the original was 336. We're asking for, he's asking for 425.
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong numbers. I stand corrected.
Okay.
But the total amount is 425,525.07. That's what I'm looking for.
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Thank you, council and Angel. So now we're going to go to item 4.2. This is a presentation by Steve McFadden about the retail coach. Steve?
Good evening. For those of you who may not know, I'm the Economic Development Director for Adams County, so I work directly for the county government entity. My responsibility is to grow the county's tax base and create new jobs via recruitment and retention. So when I first was hired in June of 2014, my focus was business and industry and commercial development. When Travis Goddard was here leading the city through your new comprehensive plan process, I was asked to assist with the economic development chapter of that plan, which you put into place in March of 2016. And there was a pretty spirited discussion during the stakeholder meeting about wanting some additional retail, commercial, entertainment, restaurants, hospitality. About that time, RITSA was also asking for something similar. So we partnered with Grant County, who has been going to the International Council of Shopping Centers Recon event for the last 5 years. It's the single largest gathering of retail national brands, the developers that build retail facilities, the commercial realtors that do the lease agreements with national brands to occupy those facilities. And so we've launched into a process in May of 2016 to start knocking on doors and doing recruitment in an area that none of our jurisdictions in Adams County have ever done before. It's a bit of a voyage of discovery. The first year, we took a team of three, staffed our booth, plus did cold call outreach to 31 companies that were at the show. Five of those companies requested additional information. Last year, we returned with a team of four. Prior to going, having been on the floor at the show once, I knew what to expect. I was able to acquire the exhibitor list and schedule a total of 21 meetings. We actually did 34 meetings at the expo, and not just national brands, but with commercial realtors and retail developers. We had 14 that requested additional information. And today I have three legitimate leads that I continue to work, and we'll be meeting with those companies when we take Marshawn Logan with us when we go in May of this year. What we're trying to do, let me pause real quick. I really can't discuss with you the names of the companies that we're talking to. They love to work in private. Out of respect for them, I can only tell you that the types of companies that we've talked to and the types of companies that we're continuing to talk to. But both Ritzville and Othello asked for new sit-down restaurants and also asked for hospitality in the form of new hotels and encouraged also doing outreach to find entertainment and quality of life services. There's a lot of those defined different ways. But here's what we learned. This recruitment, along with industry and business recruitment of any kind, is a long-term effort. National brands, developers, and investors make really careful decisions, and here's the anchor. Data plays a critical role in the decision-making. They look at population, retail trade area, in other words, who drives in to make purchases and where are they coming from, your median household income, traffic patterns and average daily traffic trips on specific roads that are adjacent to retail development, the availability and the interest from existing and new franchisees, because the vast majority of national brands are franchise options. Most fast food restaurants are owned by franchisees, and today, most hotels are owned by franchisees. You see very few corporate stores anymore, and that's how you're able to see an expansion in national brands in what they would call middle markets or marginal markets. Grant County, in 6 years, I think, of traveling, has brought back 15 brands to Moses Lake. And if you've been over and paid attention to the hotel growth along I-90 in Moses Lake, it's explosive. Most of that hotel growth is a direct result of Grant County going to Recon. We have an interesting challenge here, and that is that we don't have the population base that Moses Lake and Grant County has, so we're having to do a better job of the sales pitch, and it exceeds our resources in terms of the kind of software to do the analytical research and the actual background in understanding how a retail company thinks. Last year, we met with several consultants who are also at this show, conveniently, and then we brought the retail coach to town. I think Wade sat in a meeting we did in Othello. We conducted a similar meeting in Ritzville where we had the owner of the retail coach come and talk about their consulting services. What we're proposing is a partnership, similar to what Adams County and ACDC did with all the cities and towns when we hired the Boy Group to look at industrial recruitment efforts. This one with a much smaller price tag, I want to say. But first off, about the company. Since 2000, the retail coach has provided services that have resulted in 3.5 million square feet of new retail development for their clients. They've served 450 plus communities. Anywhere you see blue here on the map, they have clients. Today, Renton and Shelton are both clients. Pasco is about to decline for this company. What we're wanting to do is secure them before going to Recon to acquire all of the following data that you see on this far side of the proposal. They're going to do stakeholder meetings in person in all five of our towns, including Adams. They will analyze the market using a mobile data location technology that allows them to do cell phone ping analysis. They will know how many people are standing in the Othello Walmart on a specific day using a phone and what area code they're from. That helps us get the trade area. Additionally, they'll provide retail trade mapping, retail gap analysis. They'll identify all of the vacancies and available redevelopment sites in a jurisdiction, give us a retail market profile that Sean and I will carry into our meetings and leave behind with the companies that we're trying to invite to Othello. They'll give us retail feasibility packages, which will also complement making the case why hotels should come here or why restaurants should come here. Some retail site profiles based on available undeveloped lots or ag ground that's adjacent to the city that could be developed. Then they'll also do independent business focus here in Othello. That's essentially talking about how to have and support entrepreneurs who want to start up their own retail businesses. That'll be a launch in Othello and a stay here and play. And then they will be at Recon and they'll be available to meet with us while we're there going through the experience of continuing to try and recruit. Their original proposal to us was 47,000 plus travel. I called them up. And I said, Kelly, you were here, population 20,000 in the entire county, 47,000 plus travel is not in our budget. We were able to get them to agree to providing those services for a total of $27,000. What I'm asking for is a partnership where Adams County, out of our economic development fund, will spend 20, and that the city of Othello will spend four and the city of Ritzville will spend three, so that we all have some skin in the game. And the beauty is, all of the final products you will get to use if your own staff comes across an opportunity when I'm not in the room or out knocking on doors. That's the basic gist of why I'm here tonight. We have a bit of a desire to make a fairly swift decision. We need to commit within the next 2 weeks in order for us to ensure that all the work is done before we get on a plane on the 20th of May and go to Vegas to the recon show. We would like to be able to do this before Pasco does this. Pasco's looking at doing it next year, having it ready for them when they go to recon. But about 250 cities from the West Coast go to this show. They either have booths or they go door to door and they walk the show. Everybody you know locally is there. Spokane, Pasco, Richland, Moses Lake, Yakima. We're essentially either there with everybody else competing for our own fair share or really stepping back and letting them just capture it. The one challenge we have is that our communities aren't right there where we need to be population-wise. In the case of Othello, you're on the cusp of meeting their minimums. We have to make the case based on retail data and retail trade area data that shows the shoppers that come into Othello from outside of the city limits that this is a good place for investment. And when you talk about Ritzville, it's a whole different discussion. What we're talking about is building up exit 221 and I-90. It has one thing you've done, 20,000 cars a day, but it doesn't have the local sustainability population for retail. So we can do restaurants and hotels there, but national brands like haircutters and childcare and all of those different types of things will not stay at Ritzville. But we have an opportunity to go after them for ourselves.
Questions, council? So like a fellow share of this would be 4,000.
Where would that come from?
Spencer.
Are we looking to make a decision tonight?
We have next Monday to make the decision. You want to spend some time finding that 4,000, or do you always want to have further discussion, or are you ready to make a decision tonight?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
You said they're going to be looking for hotels and restaurants in Ritzville.
Correct.
Are you going to be looking for those here also?
So
we need restaurants here, period.
There's 125 hotels represented at Recon. And the three largest national brands average 25 or 30 brand labels underneath them. And what could site here may site up there, but there's so many other options. We talked to the Marriott company. We didn't realize some of the brands that they actually own, we didn't know they were theirs. But if we don't, they want hotels in Ritzville. Othello needs hotels. It really doesn't matter if the same brand sites in both places. But what does matter is that we have the proper data to promote Othello and justify the needs for the hotel.
Well, they got I-90.
They do have I-90. But what I can tell you is they look at how many students do you have in your senior class, and how many people are going to come here and stay overnight for graduation? You beat Ritzville hands down there. And a lot of similar things like that. What does the Sandhill Crane Festival generate for you in terms of hotel room nights? And what could it generate from you if you had more rooms here available instead of Moses Lake? Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
So bringing in, for example, if somebody's wanting to bring in a business, you know, I know, I'm a witness of it, you know, you call the franchise and you get a bunch of questions. The first one is population, you know, how many cars go through there. So this would help them gear up, and this would answer their question.
We'll be able to provide them a handout in full color that has all of those things in place, or we'll be able to send them immediately an electronic file if they prefer it that way.
So do we have anything close to that here for Othello?
About halfway. and I created it myself from scraping the demographic data. What they're doing with the cell phone ping technology, I can't even remotely do. They have a $250,000 piece of software that allows them on any given day at a specific hour of the day to look at cell phone pings in a specific building and tell you if there's 50 or 500 people using their cell phone or if their data's engaged. Seems a little big brotherish to me, but what we're seeing when they do that is you can actually articulate how many people are shopping in a store in your town and what zip codes are they from. And that's, I just don't have the budget to put that kind of tool that I'll use once a year in Adams County's toolbox.
So with that there, is there any, I mean, there is a kickback to the city because that, you know, there's taxes are going to be collected.
The property tax, the job creation, not to mention the improvement in quality of life. It's a fairly small investment, even at the county level, because most of these things that we're recruiting for are not going to land in Adams County's unincorporated area. They're going to land inside the city limits of the town. But we all benefit from growth. Mayor Logan knows that my position is a rising tide raises all ships. And I've been selling that particular position since we created ACDC back in 2007.
Will they be able to meet your timeline?
What?
Will they be able to meet your timeline?
I spoke to them Saturday.
All right. I think we should vote on this tonight.
Okay, make a motion.
Well, I'd like to know where the money could come from.
You know, is...
We're all spent up in the tourism fund.
Well, this would be, this is a general fund.
Huh?
This is not a general
fund. It's not tourism.
All right.
This would be out of the general fund. And when we budget out of the general fund, we estimate the revenues and the expenses. And generally, we take a conservative approach to both of those. Chances are, we're only talking about $4,000 here. Chances are, we'll have some expense come a little bit under, some revenue can come a little bit more. For something like $4,000, I think we can pretty safely say it can go to the general fund.
All right.
I'd like to make a motion to partner.
Okay.
Participate in the partnership.
Thank you.
At $4,000. Okay, that's the motion.
Second.
I have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you'll excuse me, I have another presentation at the Othello School Board meeting tonight.
Thank you.
See if you can get some money from them.
Okay, so we have some change orders on the First Avenue project, and we have with us Kurt or Jesse? Kurt. Jesse's later on. Thank you.
Wasn't a portion of this coming out of the state funding grant?
We have three change orders on First Avenue. I want to apologize to the council for the tardiness of the presentation.
We'll ask. He's going to explain it.
Took us a while to negotiate the cost down where we could get to a point where they'd be recommendable, and then in the middle of the show they, I don't know, terminated, or the person that we were negotiating with quit. So we didn't have to start completely over, but anyway, it's been several months. Most of these things you guys have seen during the progress of the project presented to council and or the Public Works Board. So as we're going through these, you'll probably recollect most of them. Each change order is kind of a summary of several little things or minor or quasi-major things that happened during the project. We clumped them together into sewer modifications, water modifications, and street modifications to benefit Spencer and our tracking stuff. The sewer modifications mostly consisted around when we laid the storm sewer as flat as we could on First Avenue so we could get it as far north as we could. and we took some assumptions on where the water mains were in that alignment. We had the contractor pothole, most of them. There were a few that I'll talk about later that were unknown at that time, and we couldn't locate them because of they were AC pipes. But the sewer modifications were, A, going back and regrading those storm drains to drain south when they conflicted a water pipe. And we added catch basins at, didn't write that down, which intersection was that? Scooten?
Yes.
There's a lot of stormwater. I guess historically there'd been some minor flooding at that intersection, so we went back after the design and added two more catch basins at that intersection. The result of those modifications totaled up to $13,630.06. And I included the details of those and the breakdown of the costs. They're attached, as well as the field orders that directed the contractor per conversation with staff to make those modifications. The water modifications is the big one. That was for $31,629.23. And I think you guys can recollect at that time they hit a bunch of AC pipe. That AC pipe had to be removed. And typically when you have a situation like that, we try to leave it in place because it is a hazardous waste. In this case, we had to remove it, so they had to come out in moon suits and bag it all up and take it to a facility in Tacoma. So the water modifications costs are primarily the removing of the asbestos pipe that happened in, I think, four locations. One was longitudinal. The other three were the pipe between the main line and the fire hydrant. We had to move the fire hydrant back out of the ADA ramps, and we had to take that pipe and dispose of it as well. The last change order six is for street and sidewalk modifications. Most of that was, there was two primary things that happened there. We make an assumption on what we think the concrete's going to hold up as we do the review. That includes the curb and gutter, sidewalk, some of the approaches. Once we get into the construction, some of that stuff falls apart. You don't know what that person made their approach out of. You know, it looks like it's decent. You get in there and it's an inch thick, and as soon as we start doing construction around it, it falls apart. The second thing is several of the ramps ended up being excessively thick asphalt. We planned on 2-inch, but we wanted to match whatever was there because if it fell apart in the future, we didn't want the city to be blamed for premature failures. So the street and sidewalk modifications were repairing those areas that fell apart during construction. That'd be the curb, the gutter, sidewalk, and replacing a couple of the driveway approaches. Like, for example, the Napa approach. That was actually poorly drained, so water always ponded there, and that asphalt fell apart. When we went in there, it was completely shot. The contractor went and regraded that intersection, and we put it back in there so that it wouldn't pond anymore. So there was a couple situations like that where we wanted to fix it correctly. Total is $59,630, plus or minus a few cents. We went over this with the Public Works Committee, like I said, during construction, and I think many of these with council. And I'd answer any questions or comments or.
Like the approaches that are going like in the Napa, that's a visual. We can see that before we, you know, sign on the contract. Couldn't that have been avoided? Couldn't that have been part of the job?
Yeah, potentially it could have been. I didn't, the other thing that happened there was that their irrigation lines were crossing the asphalt. We didn't know that. So when we got in there, that blew up and made a muddy mess. And no change orders are additional cost. If it was included in the contract, there would have been a cost there anyway. So yeah, it may cost a little bit more, but you can't negate the work in its entirety. And then generally, if there were unit costs to cost this stuff up, that's what we fell back in the negotiations with the contractor, is we just paid the unit rate that was in the contract documents. So in that case, Angel, if we'd have made the predetermined decision to swap that out, you'd have paid the same cost as you are in the change order.
Yeah, you just said you paid the unit rate.
Yes, so
that's what I wanted to hear, because when it's a change order, and then that's when, you know, that's where the money comes.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit sometimes.
And there was no cost coverage from the state grant?
No. We wrung as much water out of that wash rag as we could with the additional asphalt and this, and the redoing the last few blocks of First Avenue.
When we finalize these, this is it? First Avenue can be put to bed?
There's permanent striping left. So right now it's temp striping. They're going to put permanent striping down.
What's that going to cost?
It's already in the bid. There's $37,000, I think. But that's not a change order. That's
have they been paid for that?
Pardon me?
Have they been paid for the striping?
No, sir.
For the temporary striping to the tune of...
10.
10 grand.
Yeah, we had
total of 13.
Yeah, we had to have that. Okay.
They'll just go right over the temporary, though, right?
I don't know how that works, Terry. Can they go right over that, or they take it off?
No, it was striped exactly like it was in the plan, so when they come back with it permanent, it would go right over
it. If we want to make two modifications, don't we?
Yeah, there's one modification we made. Okay. The majority of it would be back on.
That should cost them less, because they know where to...
Absolutely. I'll get a credit for that $37 of...
plenty of foot. Okay, so you've already devised where they're coming from, the funding.
We did that at the time when we discussed the items.
Yeah.
All right. I need a motion.
We make a motion to approve the change order to the contract with Advantage Dirt Contractors Incorporated.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Yep.
Thank you, Kurt. Now we'll move to item 4.4, contract award to Schneider Equipment, Inc. for well number 3. Jesse?
So just to refresh council's memory on where things are at with the well 3 replacement, if you recall back to the December council meeting, the council approved a resolution to declare an emergency relating to the contracting services to replace the well due to the critical nature of well 3 for meeting summer demands. And so we put together the design and contract documents and took this out to the city's desired well contractor, Schneider Water Services. We got back what we believe is a good quote from them. We reviewed it with Aspect Consulting, the city's hydrogeology consultant, and the quote came back at just under $1 million. It was $970,959. And there's been sort of a parallel track running alongside the contracting of drilling services that was to acquire funding for this so that the city wouldn't have to either tap out the water fund or borrow from internally from the sewer fund. And so the numbers you see on the screen here on the agenda memo were the estimated breakdown of costs for the funding application. So all that we're trying to get across there is basically that the quote has come back within those estimated values. So we're good in terms of the amount of money the city was requesting from rural development to finance this. So it was basically our conclusion that this appears to be a good quote. And so our recommendation would be for the council to go ahead and award it to Schneider Water Services. But can I answer any questions from council concerning the quote or the process or any of the details there?
Just one.
Sure.
Did Schneider have your estimated engineering?
They did not.
They did not?
No. And as you, if Spencer, maybe you can pull up the quote tabulation Second one there, second, yeah. And if, I guess you probably heard the Zoom, but, so there's kind of two sets of two columns there. The one on the left is the engineer's estimate, the one on the right was Schneider's, actual quote. And if you look at the numbers on the bottom there, they came in about 10%, actually 15% lower than our estimate. So that was good in that we were conservative in estimating the costs.
So the other question would be, did you work Schneider to develop your engineering estimate costs?
So, there were a couple iterations on the engineer's estimate. You know, we started with Aspect, and Aspect actually had it almost, they were lower than Schneider's actual quote there. But there were a few things that we looked at in terms of, you know, the prevailing wage, how prevailing wages would affect it, what some of their other, comparable projects were. And so we ended up adding some to our estimate, but no, we didn't make that available to Schneider as they were quoting it or anything like that. So.
Well, it's just that their mobilization cost was identical.
Huh.
And some of the other figures that they gave were almost identical to yours. Some of them were 50%. I mean, right down the middle, 50% less. But no, I'm not questioning their numbers and I'm not questioning yours. I was just wondering if an exchange took place.
You know, my guess would be is that, you know, these bid items are similar from job to job in terms of drilling.
Yep.
And so when we're looking at comparables, some of those are going to be the same cost on every job. And so my guess is the ones that are similar were ones that's just kind of their stock amount. But I didn't know that, so I didn't go and compare all of them. Yeah.
You know, we were looking for a grant.
That's the RD loan. We don't know how much that is forgivable or whatever yet. Is that correct, Jesse?
Yeah, that's correct. This was one where it's likely to be just a loan. You know, the program itself does have grant available, but part of the considerations that they look at on that are what your current water rates are set at, and then also what other debt you have on that utility, which the water system currently doesn't have any debt. So I think as the city starts to implement the several of the other water improvements that are teed up to move along here, like the reservoir, the well 10 when that goes, some of these water main replacements, I think you're gonna be better positioned in that you'll actually have some debt on the books, and then you can start saying, yes, we need more grants from that particular program. You know, there's other programs that the city is also pursuing that are strictly grant. But
so have we sought and been approved for a loan?
It is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, this is going on a parallel path. Mm-hmm. We've been working extensively with them. Jesse has, I have, Spencer has, to make sure that rolls along with this.
Okay.
I'm still nervous about it, but Jesse's assured me that RD is very amenable to getting this approved. I don't know, Jesse, you might expand on that based on your experience.
Sure, and part of the reason we pointed the city towards rural development for this is they're one of the very, very few funding agencies that would actually come in to a project as it's being bid. You know, normally you have to have the funding in hand beforehand. They got to be involved in all. And we did actually have to loop them into developing the contract documents and stuff and have some of the requirements in there, but it's a unique funding agency that will actually come in mid-project with funding and reimburse for whatever you've already paid for the project and then also provide the rest
of
the funding.
We did talk about reimbursement, so we can get underway with this project using our water fund money and then pay ourselves back when we get the loan.
Yeah, so depending on when we get that loan, we may need to do an interim fund loan from the sewer fund for a 4 month, 5 month period, depending on when that RD loan comes in.
Correct.
And then if that RD loan doesn't come in, then we go to a local bank and we have some quotes from local banks. So then that is a backup.
Okay.
And so to be clear, on well 3, and I think we all know the history of well 3, but this is basically a redrilling of well 3, Jesse?
Yes.
How many feet from the existing well?
So between 50 and 75. Like, I guess we want to have it as close as we can from a practical standpoint of wanting to be able to reuse the pump house, but also far enough away from the existing well. And the city actually just had a gyroscopic survey of the well, because part of the issue with well 3 is that it's crooked. And so we wanted to establish which direction it's crooked in, because you don't want to intersect it accidentally on the way down. And it does appear that it's crooked to the south, which is good, because we want to go to the north. So that probably means we can keep it more toward the 50-foot distance instead of 75-foot. But those decisions will be made as the driller gets on site, you know, with public works staff, and then also with Aspect, the hydrogeology consultant. So.
How many feet are we drilling?
Around 1,000 is what the estimate is. The existing one's about 900 feet.
And what about the abatement of the existing well 3? Are we filling that up with bentonite? Is that all included in this cost?
So the overall project cost, you know, barring some weird unforeseen circumstances, should include that, yes. And some of the, I guess, I don't think all the decisions have totally been made on whether or not it would just be abandoned or whether it might be maintained as a monitoring well. So,
Jesse, excuse me, weren't we looking at one time at possibly using that as a test well for ASR also?
You know, yeah, and I think that's unlikely, but I guess it's probably not one that's been totally eliminated also. Because I think part of what Aspect's idea on it was that potentially, now that the capital budget is passed and the pilot study money is moving along through OCR, there's money in that for a downhole well valve. And potentially, if all those schedules line up, when they go to install a pump in the new well 3, that valve could be installed there, so it could be put in there. But I think the reason it's unlikely to be a long-term solution for the existing well 3 is just because of the cascading water.
Yeah.
So
is in this construction, is there money for casing it to the bottom of the well? Is that included in this?
A liner for the new well?
Yeah, so that we don't have cascading water, that ecology is all
The thing that will prevent the cascading water is the seal down to about 500 feet. So there'll be a permit casing with a seal that totally seals off those upper aquifers. And the lower 400 to 500 feet will most likely have a liner in it. It's not a foregone conclusion. The existing well is open bore. The issue with it is it's crooked, not that it's open bore. But I think it's likely the city will end up installing a liner. The city installed one in well 9, and it was a good thing.
Okay. And so the pump station adaptation and modification, that's to the existing setup that's there now?
Mm-hmm.
And is necessary at this time? Okay. Council, any other questions? All right. Entertain a motion to spend $1.72 million on...
So it's just to award the contract, which would be for the $979.59.73. But you could just say award the contract for redrilling of well 3 to Schneider Water Services.
I'll make a motion to award the contract for replacing well 3 to Schneider Water Services.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Right. So just one other thing that I might, give council a heads up for. So as we were doing this, I want to say just because of the speed that things needed to happen, the council initially authorized the design and the bid engineering services for this, but we don't actually have a scope yet for the design of the pump station modifications and those sorts of things. So we'll be bringing a scope. We'll bring it to the public or the Water Sewer Street Committee first, but that'll be coming to council as well here. So,
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Sure.
Let's go to item 5. Is there any unfinished business tonight to come before the council? Okay. Is
Or item six, any new business to come before? Yes, Wade?
Just to let the council know, if you don't already know, we've hired Tim Munro from the county officially as our building inspector. He's on board effective last week. And we have got a new IT guy on board. Got Abner Garza. Okay, he's stolen from the school district down in Tri-Cities. He's a fellow native. So if we got him on board full-time now, so if you need work done, I think he's already helped somebody out. He's here, available, and doing good work so far.
Okay, any other new business? John?
I'd like to, I've talked to Wade individually about this. I've talked to you about it. But I'd like to, and this goes back to the strategic plan that we developed. And because a few people felt that the meeting wasn't great, I still think there was a lot of good ideas that were put forth in that meeting. And I would like to see some results from that meeting. And we talked about putting together something that you could, you know, we could work with as a document for where we want to go in the future.
One thing we've already done, I've already forwarded that to Meg, whatever we're calling out. Yeah, so she's already got, we're already using it per se, but we'll condense that and put it in the.
I know, because those were things, the things that we met with Meg about and the things that we were doing there were actually things that we discussed in that meeting.
Yeah.
But look, we did that for a purpose. We did that so that we would have a document that showed that this is what your city council is looking at as your strategic plan for growth in Othello, Washington. Okay? And these are the reasons why we are seeking to spend money to do these things, because we feel they're important to the community. Now, we didn't just come up with those ideas. We heard people talking. We had insight to developing that. But I think we need to get that document put together as a working document. It can help us with our going to the state.
Sure.
For funding and stuff. They talk about plans. Well, here's our strategic plan.
I'll add that to the list of projects that are supporting, so we'll try and get that.
I think that was one of the key things that she said, you know, if we approach them with a strategic plan, they kind of look at us in a very good way. That's what they like to see. They know where we're going, what our direction is.
Yeah, we spent 2 days coming up with some very good ideas. We're acting on those good ideas right now, but we don't have a formalized document that says, this is what you developed. And I'm saying
there's a draft out. So what we need to do is finalize the draft. And I think maybe if we release the draft to the council, they could review it. And if there's things they want to add to that draft and want to change about that draft, the council would be free to work on that document. And then we could come together and finalize it. Yes, Becky.
Are you talking about the draft that she emailed to the department head?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk to Wade. But there was a draft. So it isn't just notes on an easel. It did get into draft form. So, okay.
That's good because I have notes from it too.
Yeah, I still have notes too. Okay, is there any other new business tonight? Okay, item 7.1 is council will receive department head reports, and 7.2 is planning commission minutes. Having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:30 p.m.